great, mighty words of life. The average person has never learned that. They've never come to that understanding. So they don't know how beautiful they are. The writer that wrote the song, sing them over again to me. Beautiful words of life. Wonderful words, beautiful words. Wonderful words of life. Jesus said, my word is spirit, and my word is life. In the beginning was the word, and the word was God. And the Bible said the word came forth, put on flesh. Or that is, the word was made flesh, dwelt among us, and we beheld the word as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and full of truth. And it is so wonderful to know the beauty of the Word of God. Hallelujah. People are starving for the Word of God. Like Brother Walden said the other day, hundreds of thousands of people are falling away because they have no depths in the Word of God. He said, Brother Pike, I'm persuaded to believe that the reason for this is that they have no depths in the Word of God. And said, we are going to incorporate in our meetings a teaching to try to deepen people in the Word of God as far as their understanding and to strengthen them. But you know, Jesus spoke of that. He said, and these had no depths. And as soon as the sun was risen, the fierce heat of the day fell down upon them, that they were scorched and the roots dried up. You know, some seed fell into good ground. Some brought forth fruit. And this is God's desire. The Bible said, my desire is that ye should bring forth much fruit. And your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask of me in my name, I will give it to you. How do you believe Jesus told the truth about it? How do you believe he meant what he said? Raise your hand if you believe that God meant what he said. When he said, whatever you ask in my name, I will do it. Everybody that believes that, raise your hand. All right. Then we know that God is not a liar. 1 Corinthians, reading from the first chapter. This is the first epistle of Paul, the apostle, to the Corinthians. The church at Corinth is where it all happened. The salutation of Paul, the first chapter, the first verse. Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, in Sothenes, our brother, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything you are enriched by him, in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that ye come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that ye may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no division among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. For it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Troas, that there are contentions among you. Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, and I of Apollos, and I of Cephas, and I of Christ. Is Christ divided, or was Paul crucified for you? Or were ye baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you but Crispus and Gaius, lest any should say that I had baptized in mine own name. And I baptized also the household of Stephanus. Besides, I know not whether I baptized any other, For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of word, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after then in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified unto the Jews, a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God, and the wisdom of God, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and bare things of the world, and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. You know, you find here where Paul speaks of the contention, and then he says that we should, in the 10th verse, and that there be no division among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. You know, when you say be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment, let's just stop for just a few minutes and think on what Paul said. And I exhort you, brethren, he said, that there be no division among you. That there be no division among you. But that ye all be joined together, perfectly joined together, in the same mind, the same accord, that ye be perfectly joined together. That there be no Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, Pentecostal, Church of God, Catholic, Presbyterian, Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, UPC, non-denominationals, charismatics. I exhort you, brethren, that there be no division among you, but that ye be one people, all joined together in one mind. There be no division among ye, but that ye be perfectly joined together as one church, just one body. You know, when we think of Paul being the apostle to the Gentile church, that really puts us on the spot, doesn't it? You know, you could say, well, every church, Brother Pike, has got its own overseers. Every church has got its own body of believers. Every church has got its own leaders. But what are we going to do about the fact that God didn't give but one apostle over the church to the Gentiles? How are we going to answer to the one apostle that was over the Baptist, the Methodist, the Presbyterian, the Catholic, all of the church, the Pentecostals and whatever? How are we going to answer to that one leader, that one apostle, that had the oversight over the entirety of God's move in the Gentile church, when he says to you and I that there should be no division among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in one mind. Now, brethren, I believe you'll agree that having as many denominational barriers as we do, having as many different outlooks as we do, going in as many different directions as we are as a people in the day that we're living in, we could not possibly be joined together in one mind. Now then, perhaps you would agree with me that much. Most likely, if I confronted the denominational leaders, if I brought this particular message to them, they would no doubt agree with me thus far, not because they wanted to, but because I would have them on the spot. I would have the Word of God. They couldn't do anything else but give me an answer. But then the way that they would try to annul it or get around it is they would say, yes, but who is right? Who is right? The Baptists would say, we're right. That's why we're Baptists. And the Methodists would say, we're right. That's why we're Methodists. And the Catholics would say, we're right. That's why we're Catholics. And the Pentecostals would say, we're right. That's why we're Pentecostals. So then we'd be right back where we started from, in spite of the fact that this apostle said we are to be one, yet we would be right back where we started from unless we did one thing. And that is determine who is preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ today. How can we determine who is right and who is wrong? How can we tell who is carrying the message today and who is not carrying it? How can we tell who is right and who is wrong? There is one way. The Bible said, he that God sendeth will speak God's word. That is, the Baptist, the Methodist, the Presbyterian, the Catholics, the Pentecostal, the UPC, all of them has got to come back to God's word and get together on God's word. Not get a portion of God's word, for everybody can get a portion of God's word, but the Bible said line upon line and precept upon precept, and make every bit of it fit together perfectly until it comes in a beautiful, harmonious mind of Christ. And then the Bible said, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. When we bring them into this mind, then we'll all speak the same thing. There's only one way to speak the same thing and be in one mind, and that is to have the one mind that gives us the same knowledge, that gives us the same thing. And that is the mind of Jesus Christ, which is God's word. If we have the mind of Christ like Paul had the mind of Christ, then we're going to speak the same thing. We're going to see eye to eye. And I know a lot of people say, well, Brother Pike, we'll never see eye to eye. But that's not Bible. God said, when I bring Zion again, they will see eye to eye. They will speak the same thing. They will walk hand in hand. They won't break ranks. They won't pierce each other through. So then, we see that God is going to have a church, one church. Now, somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, my conviction is that God is going to rapture a few out of the Baptists and a few out of the Methodists and a few out of the Pentecostals and a few out of the Catholics. And I believe that's the way God's going to make up his saints. Well, you and I differ. My conviction is that God's going to forget about the Baptists, the Pentecostals, the Methodists, Catholics, and all of them, and pick up the saints of God and take them into glory. That's my conviction. I believe God's going to forget about all of the denominational powers of the world and the non-denominational too. And I believe that God is going to pick up the saints of God wherever they're at. And he's going to put them together. And I believe that they're going to see the same thing, think the same way, believe in the same thing, see eye to eye, speak the same thing, teach the same doctrine, and that is going to make up the saints of the rapture. I do not believe that one person will go in the rapture that does not see eye to eye with another saint of God. I believe that every saint of God that goes in the rapture, and if he goes in the rapture, he'll be a saint of God. I believe that he'll see eye to eye with the other saint. You say, Brother Pike, I'll never buy that. You can't. A man tried to one time, and the apostle said, your heart's not right with God. Said, you're in the gall of bitterness and the bonds of iniquity, and your heart's not right with God. Said, let him without money come. He can have it. I'll give it away. So then God tells us in his word that we are to speak the same thing. Let there be no division among you. Let there be the same mind among you. Let there be the same doctrine come together in the words of God, in the Bible, in the things of God, and let's get together in Christ Jesus. I believe this one thing today. I believe that the reason that the revelation of Jesus Christ is not working in the church today as it ought to work in the church is simply because they do not have the spirit of revelation in the church. I believe that when they get the spirit of revelation, that they're going to see eye to eye and speak the same thing. I believe that the thing that's causing the division in the church is because they have never come to the revelation of Jesus Christ. I believe that's why Paul caught the vision he did. It's because Paul spoke of the revelation and said he had the revelation of Jesus Christ, and God made him the apostle of the church. And I believe that Paul saw that this revelation would someday work in the church. And that someday the Spirit of God, which would be the Spirit of revelation, would get into the hearts of people. And that they would see eye to eye and they would begin to come together in the revelation of Jesus Christ. I do not believe they'll ever come together in the UPC. I do not believe they'll ever come together in a non-denominational move. I do not believe that they'll ever come together in a charismatic order. I do not believe they'll ever come together in the Baptist, nor the Methodist, nor the Presbyterian, nor the Catholic Church. I don't believe they'll ever come together in it. If they ever come together in either one of them, then the rest of them is those that resent the coming together, feeling that God is partial, will be lost altogether. And there's going to be some. Because they're going to feel that God favored this group of people when his word didn't teach that. And if God will break his own word, they've got a right to feel bitter. If God picks up the Catholic Church and saves the Catholic Church and takes the Catholic Church up, and leaves out the rest of them in the condition that the Catholic Church is in today, then we know there's something wrong. There's something wrong. If God today would pick up the Catholic Church and take the Catholic Church with him in the condition that it's in today and accept them into heaven, I wouldn't want to go to heaven. I'll just have to be honest with you. Somebody says, bless God, I'd want to go. It don't make no difference if the devil himself was there. Well, I wouldn't. When I go there, I want to get away from the devil. That's what I'm going there for. If the devil's going there, I don't have no desire to be up there because he'll make the same mess in heaven that he made in earth. God isn't going to take any church to heaven. When God calls a people, they're going to be right with God. If God raptures the Catholic Church, you can be sure of one thing. They repented of their sins. They got full of the Holy Ghost and they've been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. And they've cleaned up their lives and they are candidates for glory. Or else God isn't going to take them. So then I know that we're going to have to come together in the revelation of Jesus. When we come to the spirit of revelation, then we're going to get straightened out.
As long as one preacher tries to tell you and another preacher tries to tell you and another preacher tries to tell you, you're going to have problems. But brother, if I preach the word and another preacher preaches the word and another preacher preaches the word, you ain't going to have problems. If you have the spirit of revelation, because the spirit of revelation is going to take that word of God and put it together and unveil it to you to where you can understand what those preachers are saying, and you're all going to be united together in one body of the Lord Jesus Christ. One membership, not two, but one. There's not two bodies of Christ. There is not a great mystic body that is divided up where parts over here and parts over yonder, parts in another place. God has one unified body. Spiritually speaking, all of us are baptized into one body by one spirit. We're all together. If the same spirit has baptized you into the bodies of membership that baptized me into the bodies of membership, then that means we've got the same spirit of life. We got the same Father. We've got the same nature. We've got the same mind. We've got the same understanding. You and I have the same spirit. It's not a matter of the blood genes. You know, say, well, a lot of different bloods in the world. There is no different bloods in the world. The Bible said God has made all nations of one blood. It's not a matter of different bloods in the world. It's a matter of different spirits in the world. There is a satanic spirit in the world. There is a God spirit in the world. Somebody says, well, I think the trouble that happened to Adam and Eve was because of the blood. I don't feel that way at all. I don't see where that's got anything to do with it. Come on now. Somebody say, but Brother Pike, don't you believe? I sure don't. Not that way at all. Not down that trail at all. Don't you believe that Cain was of another blood? Cain was a nation of people. How many of you know that? The Bible said God hath made all nations of one blood, and Eve is the mother of all living. I believe what the Bible says about it. Somebody would say, but Brother Pike, don't you believe that Cain is the cause of all of this death? The Bible didn't say in Cain all die, did it? The Bible said in Adam all die. Not in Cain, but in Adam all die. So it's the spirit of the thing that we're dealing with. It's the spirit of the thing. That's what we're dealing with. As in Adam all die, so in Christ all is made alive. So then we see something that is taking place. Glory to God, we see something that makes our cup to run over. We in this very world, what we are concerned about, beloved friend, is not the blood. I know there's a water rim and a blood rim and a spirit rim, but we're not concerned about the water rim or the blood rim. God will take care of that. What we're concerned about is the spirit rim. What we're concerned about is not the blood within our veins, but we're concerned about the nature that's on the inside of us. Hallelujah. The Bible said we're partakers of the divine nature of Jesus Christ. I'm concerned tonight about the nature that's in my genetics tonight, in my bosom tonight, in my heart tonight. That nature that's on the inside of my blood veins. That's what I'm concerned about tonight. Are you partakers of his nature tonight? You know, you don't have to worry about the blood. If you've got the nature, it'll take care of itself. How do you know that? You say, Brother Pike, what do you mean by that? The Bible tells me that I've got royal blood flowing through my veins. Hallelujah. I'm a son of God tonight with royal blood flowing through my veins. Why have I got royal blood? Because I have the nature of Jesus in my blood genetics tonight. And that nature determines what I am to be. You know, a tree produces, reproduces after its kind. You take an individual, a man, you know, his pleasure is to marry a wife. Because his pleasure is to reproduce, reproduce, reproduce. He marries a wife. She's a field, just like the world is a field. He marries a wife that he might reproduce his image. Not her image, but his image. Now you say, but Brother Pike, don't you think that God also reproduces her image? God reproduces her image through his image. Because, see, in Christ, the man and the woman are but one. When the man's image is reproduced, so is the woman's image in the man. How do you understand what I'm saying? Paul said this is a great mystery concerning the church. Hallelujah. Woman and man, no longer twain, but one. We are one with Christ. We are flesh of his flesh, spirit of his spirit, bone of his bone, blood of his blood. I am nature of his nature. I have his nature on the inside of me. See, when that man reproduces, it is like his image. Why? Because it has his nature. His body has his nature. His body, look at a beast. Let a lion reproduce. And what does it come out? A lion. Let an elephant reproduce. Why don't he come out a giraffe? Somebody say, I love Jesus. Let a hippopotamus reproduce. Why don't he come out a turkey? Paul said, I speak as a fool to get my thought over. Now, what are you saying, Brother Pike? Every nature reproduces after its own kind. So then if I'm born of God, I'm a son of God. Because when I was born of God, his nature reproduced after its kind. Glory to God, and I've been born of God. I'm a son of God tonight. John said, now, beloved, are you the sons of God. It doth not yet appear what ye shall be like, but we know that when we see him, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Tonight, I'm a son of God. I'm not reproduced after the natural image. My first birth was a reproduction after my dad's own image. But tonight I'm a reproduction after my Heavenly Father's image. I've been born again. You love Jesus? Have you got just a little bit of time to listen? I am born of the Spirit tonight. Glory to God. He that is born of the Spirit is like the wind. You can't tell where it comes from. You don't know where it goes. There's something glorious about it. Filled with the Holy Ghost. Joyful, jubilant. Your cup is running over. I am born to the Spirit tonight. He that is born to the Spirit is Spirit. Oh, somebody would say, but Brother Pike, you cannot possibly be Spirit. Well, if you want to dispute with my Father about it, I'll let you do it. If he'll take the time to do it. But the Bible said, he that is born to the Spirit is Spirit. Somebody would say, but Brother Pike, you're born to the flesh. I was born to the flesh in my first birth. That which is born to the flesh is flesh. I was flesh. But when I was born of God, I was born to the Spirit. And that which is born to the Spirit, beloved friend, is Spirit. So glory to God tonight. What am I? A quickening spirit. Born of his bone, flesh of his flesh. Royal blood is flowing through my veins. Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, someday you're going to be a son of God. John said, now, beloved, right now, beloved, we're sons of God. Somebody would say, now, wait a minute, Brother Pike. Wait a minute, Brother Pike. Don't get beside yourself. The Bible said, flesh and blood shall not inherit the kingdom of God. I know that. But did you ever read about a man that was where the spirit was made flesh? I'm talking about spirit flesh. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Somebody said, wait a minute, Brother Pike. You say that a man that's born of spirit is spirit. And yet you say a man is flesh and bones. Let me ask you a question. When Jesus rose from the dead, when he came up out of the grave, was that the celestial Jesus or was that the terrestrial Jesus? Somebody said, well, I don't think it was yet celestial. Well, I'll tell you what, if the terrestrial can get up out of the grave, that's a pretty good thing. I never seen it done yet. I never seen it done yet. Now, if a prophet raises him up out of the grave, I've seen him come back. But on his own accord, I never see that done. But this man got up of his own accord. He said, I have a commandment from my Father that I have the power to lay my life down or to take it up. I have this commandment from God. Somebody said, but Brother Pike, you don't really believe he was celestial. I believe he was. I believe he was. You say, well, where do you get that? Paul said, sown in weakness, raised in power. Sown a natural body, raised a spiritual body. Isn't that what he said? But you said, wait a minute, we're talking about flesh. Jesus walked down the road to Emmaus. When he got over there and ate the fish and the honeycomb, they got all shook up. Said, a spirit, I want you to listen. Said, fill me. A spirit hath not flesh and bones as you see me have. Now, where do we go from here? The Bible said the second man, Adam, was made a quickening spirit. Somebody said, but wait a minute, Brother Pike. But the Bible says, thy fool, Paul said, that is to be quickened is not quickened until it dies. It must be dead to be quickened. Had Jesus died, he had been quickened. Hallelujah. Somebody say, I love Jesus. He had been quickened. But you say, Brother Pike, he said, a spirit hath not flesh and bones as you see me have. But the Bible said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was spirit life. And the Word, the Spirit, was made flesh. Else how can I be flesh of his flesh and bone of his bone? Can I then be bone of his natural bone and flesh of his natural flesh? Only one way. I must have the nature of God on the inside of me. If I have the spiritual nature of God, it causes my blood genetics to change into royal blood. A hippopotamus's spirit makes hippopotamus blood. A lion's spirit nature makes a lion genetic. An elephant nature causes an elephant genetic. A God spirit causes a God genetic. Bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. So then he came up out of the grave and he vanished out of their sight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Somebody say, well, he can't do that, but he did do it. Walk through the walls. Why don't you try that tonight? Why don't you try that tonight? What is it? We are born to the nature of God. Jesus wanted them to know that he was flesh, that he was bones. That he had lifted up the same body that went down into the earth. And he wanted them to know that though he was a quickening spirit, it was still the same bones and the same flesh. Somebody would say, no, Brother Pike, there was a difference. What he was going to do was leave that body. Where was he going to leave it at? He didn't leave it in the grave. And the Bible said, God suffered not his Holy One to remain in hell. He didn't leave it in hell. You say, but it came and inherit the kingdom of God. Where did he take it to? When he stood over there on the Mount of Olivet, what happened to it? Where did he leave it? Who's got it? What happened to Elijah? Where is he at? What happened to Moses who appeared on the Mount of Transfiguration? Why did Jesus stand before Nicodemus and say, the Son of Man who is in heaven, having ascended up, I came down, but yet I'm in heaven, Nicodemus? Why did he do that? Why did he say, we're sitting together tonight in heavenly places? Why did he say that God hath translated us into the marvelous kingdom of our God? Why is it the Bible said we're not of this world? Because God has chosen us out of this world. Hid us with Christ in the Spirit in God, whom the heavens have received, until the time of the restitution of all things. What is it that God is saying then that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God? It is a true fact that there was no place where Jesus demonstrated any blood. It is a true fact that the Spirit replaced the blood. It is a true fact. It is also a truth that the great Spirit of God that lived in Christ Jesus after the blood run from his veins at Calvary lifted him up, accompanied him to the chambers of hell and down into the depths of despair, and then raised him back up before his body could see corruption. It is a true fact that God literally picked that body up. Are you listening now? That body up. God picked that body up. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God because blood is corruptible. But you know, the Bible speaks of it that inasmuch as the children were partakers of flesh and blood, Jesus partook. Isn't that right? But it goes on to explain that he did not fully partake. That is, he partook of the image, he partook of the flesh, he partook of the bones. But he did not partake of the blood of humanity. You know, they say there's not a drop of a mother's blood in her child. All of it comes from the father according to science. All of it coming from the placenta. Being fed, the child doesn't have any blood coming from the mother. I believe that God did that because of the thing that happened in the garden, to keep a royal bloodline. I believe God did that for this purpose. Mary, being chosen for what she was, to give birth to the Son of God, God could use her as a field. God could call Jesus the seed of the woman when the woman doesn't have a seed. Never having known a man, how can this thing be, Mary said. But said the seed of the woman, it shall come to pass, a woman shall compass a man. It happened. And thy seed, Christ Jesus, shall bruise the head of the serpent. Whereas the Christ bruised the head of Jesus, that Jesus being made sin to show the head of the serpent the intellectual part, esteem him smitten of God, bruised for our transgressions, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him. No blood using the woman, because no mother blood could get into that child. Only the Father's blood, begotten of the Holy Ghost. God creating that blood cell in the womb of Mary, the same way he created the first blood cell of Adam that got contaminated from the fall in the garden. Starting the new birth, starting the new generation. God's Spirit, the second man, Adam, who was Jesus. The Bible speaks of the second man, Adam. Are you listening? The second man, Adam, who was this one that came. He was the Son of God that was in the garden. Are you listening? The Bible said Adam was the Son of God. It was that same Spirit, that same image, that same Shekinah glory that Adam had lost and left in the garden. He did not take that with him in the fall. He left that. So then when the time came, it came back to reclaim the body, which was the wife, which was the flesh, which was the woman part, which was the feminine part, to reclaim that had been stolen from him. You love Jesus? And he returned. For God said, thou must make thy living in the sweat of thy brow. among the thorns and the thistles. And they placed the thorns on his brow as he labored. They put him in the midst of the thorns to redeem that wife. That's why Paul said in him there is redemption. Paul, seeing a revelation, just a few more minutes now. I'd love to really have time to get into this sermon tonight. Time is too short. Paul took all night because time's too short to preach a revelation. You just have to preach a little sermonette. Here, this woman didn't have any blood. God could use the woman because she didn't have any blood going into the child. Therefore, there was nothing to contaminate the bloodstream, royal blood. Nothing could contaminate that life. Nothing could touch that spiritual Holy Ghost God life. Hallelujah. That makes me feel so good. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. Somebody said, well, why come you get so excited? Because God's Spirit went into that bloodstream. I'm excited because the Holy Ghost overshadowed me and done the same thing. I conceived the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. And today, my Father's Spirit, my Father's nature is inside of my blood genetics. And Paul said, I travail again, my little children, until Christ be formed in you. And Christ is being formed within me. The Bible said it pleased God. He chose me. That Christ, the revelation, Paul said, might be revealed in my life. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Nothing can touch that life. I'm sealed. That sweet Spirit of God is sealed on the inside. And the Bible said that man that is born of God cannot sin. He keepeth himself, and the evil one toucheth him not. Mary was a virgin. Tonight we're a virgin. We're God's virgin. You know, the five and the foolish, we're the wise. All the five wise and the foolish, we're the wise tonight. We've conceived of the Holy Ghost, the overshadowing. We've got Him in our heart tonight. How do you understand what I'm saying? So then, Mary was a virgin. She had pushed out all the passions of the flesh. She had conquered all of the passions. There was no human element involved. No desire of the flesh so that Satan could take advantage. In her human senses, she had killed them. She'd become immune to them. And she was the perfect vessel for God. Oh, I wish we had time to preach it tonight and elaborate on it and tell you what I mean by that. My, how glorious. How glorious just to know what I mean by her being a virgin and what she had done and what had happened to her. But tonight, children of God, we don't have to go down into the grave. Jesus went down into the grave, but you don't have to go into the grave. I ask you again this question. Why is it profitable unto God that you should choke, smother, quit breathing, close your eyes, die, be buried, and rot in the ground? What glory is that to God? I know a seed falls into the ground, it dies and it rots, and then the Bible said it brings forth life. I know that. Somebody said, well, Brother Pike, you have to do that before you can have life. I did that. Jesus went down there and he took care of all of that for me. All of that was taken care of for me. In Adam, all die. He came as the first man, Adam. He hung on Calvary. Adam laid in the ground. He went through all the rotten and everything. But I'm in Christ and I've done sprung up on the other side. Hallelujah, to never die anymore. God delivered Jesus for my offenses. Raised Christ for my justification. Today, I am free from death. I am free from the evils of this world. I am free. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. I'm free from the world. I'm free from evil. I'm free from death. I'm free from sorrow. I'm free from poverty. I'm free from sickness, free from heartaches, free from those things. By the Son of God, and I'm on this side of Calvary. I am eternal, made to live forever. I have passed from death unto life. Shall never come into the judgment, shall never come into condemnation. God hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Sanctify them once and for all by the offering up of the body of Jesus at Calvary. Have justified, sanctified, glorified, perfected forever. He hath glorified us, justified us, sanctified us, perfected us forever. And he that is born of God cannot sin. The evil one cannot touch him. You are a church without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish. So today, I don't have to die. I don't have to go to the grave. I don't have to go to the funeral home. Because we have the power to lay our life down or to take it up. Somebody would say, but Brother Pike, that's what Jesus had. But the Bible said, as he is, so am I in he. I am complete in him. As he is, so are we in him. We are him. He became us in death, sin and sorrow, that we might become him in life, eternal existence. And today God sees only Jesus, only the Christ today. You love Jesus. So then, I don't have to die. I have passed from death into life. I am alive forevermore. I once was dead, but now I am alive forevermore, having passed from death unto life to never come into condemnation. Know ye not that the saints shall judge the world? Tonight, I don't have to go to the grave. You don't have to go to the grave. We've come to the age to where death is left behind us. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but be changed. We've come to the age. Wish we had time to finish tonight. We don't have to go to the grave. We don't have to die. Jesus died for us. I have this heavenly treasure already. Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, I'm a Christian and I know that someday God is going to do something for me. I hope he does, because one day he done something for me. And I hope someday that he'll do something for you. But I pass from death unto life. And I've made that divine crossing. And I've come into that great world, hid with Christ in God, whom the heavens have received. And I'm enjoying the wonderful bliss of heaven. I wish we'd had time to elaborate a little bit concerning the birth of Jesus and Mary. But you're too much children to get into spiritual things. Paul said, I would that you were spiritual, that I might speak unto you as spirituals. But very few are of you are spiritual. Pray that God will grant unto you the spirit of revelation. But I'll tell you one thing. Unless you can get into this great thing that Paul spoke of, there will be no rapture for you. The church world is sitting waiting for a rapture that will never take place. You can take my word for it. It'll never take place. You say, but Brother Pike, someday God's going to break those heavens and come back after church. God will never do that. God will never do that. God comes from within the heart. The kingdom of God cometh not by observation. He'll never do that. The kingdom of God springs from within. Enoch was translated by faith, raptured by faith. But he should not see death, Paul said. That is the translation. That is the rapture. Is God working from within? When you see the heavens open up here, that'll be for the Lord coming to the Jewish people. Coming that they'll receive him. Those that are in him will already have been translated into the kingdom of God from within. For God hath translated us into the marvelous kingdom of our God. The course will have been finished for the church. And when he appears up there, we will be like him already. For now are ye the sons of God. Those that are waiting around for that, not preparing themselves, are like the foolish virgins. They are very foolish. They won't have anything at the coming of the Lord. Not anything. But oh, beloved friend, you that will receive the spirit of revelation and the word of God and the wisdom and understanding of the Lord and the translation from glory to glory and from faith to faith, you've got something, heavenly treasure in earthen vessels. But if you could just grow up a little bit, It would be so wonderful. So wonderful. Thine iniquity has separated thee, or between thee and thy God, and kept thee back from good things. Tonight I noticed that even talking about these things, the least little thing catches your attention. The least little thing, you're drawn away. Even the ministers that sit here, drawn away. In your interest, you're so shallow until you have no depths. And that's why you have problems. That's why you're in and out like a swing and up and down like a seesaw. It's because you have no depths of understanding. You have no depths of experience. No depths whatsoever. And least little temper spirit that runs over you, the least little thing that crosses your grain, the least little thing that goes wrong, you're going to quit serving God, or you're going to have a temper, or you're going to whip somebody, or you're going to explode, or you're going to do this, or you blame God with your problems. Have no depths, so that when persecution arises, you don't last. As Brother Walden said a few days back when we was talking with him, Brother Pike, he said, many people, I've never seen the like of people falling away. And I can say it's true, for I've been pondering on the same thing. Hundreds of thousands of people, the end should not come lest there be a great falling away first. That the man of perdition be revealed, that is Satan, those that have been hypocritical, those that have been light-hearted people, those that have been religious. God said, I'm going to reveal those hypocrites. I'm going to reveal the devil in those sons of Satan that have come to church so regular and mixed with the people. I'm going to reveal Satan in them. That man of perdition is going to be shown up. Only be few in that day left in Zion, and in my forest the trees shall be few, but those that are left shall be called holy. So few even a child shall be able to number them. That's why he said, fear not, little flock. It is thy Father's good pleasure to give thee the kingdom. And the law and the prophet was till John. Since that time, the kingdom is here. The kingdom has been preached. Repent ye and receive the kingdom. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom. And I wish we had time to explain what we're saying. And I wish you were spiritual to where you could receive it. But folks, you need to do something. You need to do something, or you're going to be left and not make the translation. The entire church world as a whole is going to be left. You say, oh no, Brother Pike, it was in the days of Noah as it was in the days of Noah. Only Noah's family, which represented the God family, all the rest is going to be left. All flesh had corrupted its way before God. So it is today. All right, I love you. I'd like for you to be able to see, but a man cannot receive anything save it be given him of God. And if you can't receive it, you just can't receive it. But he that can receive it, let him receive it. And he that can hear what the Spirit saith unto the church, let him hear. He that hath eyes to see, let him see. I want you to stand with me. You know, the average church member is so convinced that they know that they never bother to learn. I guess the most shocking thing all through life to different people is the fact that they come to learn something. Because they feel like they know so much, they just could never feel like they could learn anything else. That anybody could tell them anything, and it's so shocking when suddenly they learn something. But oh, let me tell you, the Bible should be easy to teach. God wants to do something for you. He wants to help you. I can't tell too much, but I believe that's Brother Herman and Brother John in the back. If that's right, raise your hand back there. I thought it was. I can't make you out too good. Them lights is kind of glaring back there. But I just felt sure that that was Brother John and Brother Herman and maybe somebody else. I can't tell just two. Who is with you, brother? Brother who? Brother Mark Watkins? Oh, Brother Billy's son. Well, we're certainly glad to have Brother Billy's Watkins' son. Billy's been a great minister. Also, our Brother Herman. We're certainly glad to have Brother Herman from out of Mississippi. We was just speaking about Brother John and him a little bit ago. Also, our Brother John Lane, pastors of the church there at Cedar View over in Mississippi. Certainly a privilege to have him here. We're also certainly glad to have our Brother
tonight that ministered for us. He's been away so long, I have to ask him his name again. Brother Poach. Brother Poach, I know it real well, but I just couldn't get it to register, Brother Poach. He brought such a beautiful message here one night and does such an excellent job of singing. And also these precious people back here, I don't know their names either. I don't believe they've been with us before, have they, brother? What are their names? Oh, they're not with you. Oh, I see. Who are you, please? Would you tell us your name? Brother Shepherd. Where are you from, Brother Shepherd? Elberton. Have you been with us before? Never before. This is your wife and children? Well, God bless your heart. That's certainly a good allegory. Elberton, Georgia. Some of you know the revelation concerning Elberton and Brother David up here. It's certainly a good night for something to happen there. All right. I tell you what, it's like I said at the first of the service tonight. I am so enthused. My heart is in such state of jubilance and ecstasy till my cup runs over to know that I am a son of the living God. Do I believe that with all of my heart? I believe that I am a son of God. Could a man believe that and not have joy unspeakable and full of glory? Oh, you say, Brother Pike, someday. I'm not talking about someday. I'm talking about now. Heavenly treasure in earthen vessels. Right now, I'm a son of God. John said, Beloved, now are ye the sons of God. Glory to God. I'm a son of God right now. Eternal, to never die, having passed from death unto life. All right. Something great is taking place. Something great and marvelous is taking place. And I certainly hope that you will be a part of it. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. You know, we've often said you miss something in this world, you can always go back for the second helping. But if you miss this, there won't be any seconds. Just one time and that's all. One time and that's all. And it's real genuine, folks. It's the real thing. Praise God. Let's sing a little chorus together. Sister Dale and Brother Beretta tonight, they're not with us. Brother Beretta went to visit with his mother over in Memphis tonight. And Sister Dale, the children are with him. And they were also thinking about cutting across to the meeting up at Greenville where the brother wanted us to come and minister out of the tent. But I'd like for you to pray about the tent meeting there in Greenville. He insists after calling tonight that we be up there. So I got to be careful that I don't do the wrong thing. And the Lord dealt with me about that the other night in a vision. I was praying and I asked him to speak to me in a vision. And he did. He spoke to me in a vision and showed me that I was just a little bit too slow about making a decision concerning preaching under a tent or in a town that he wanted me in. And I admit that I'm a little slow. I want to be sure that I do the thing that pleases him. And I don't want to displease him in any way. And just run as one that beateth the air. And I don't want to wait too late. I want to be sure that I do the thing that's right. I don't want to be too late. But he let me know that I shouldn't take too long. That he has things that needs to be done. You know, God's merciful, but you can't play with God. You must do what he tells you to do. You can't wait. The Lord said to Jonah to do one thing, he done another, and he got in trouble. Let's sing this little chorus together. I need thee, Lord, I need thee, don't turn him
away. Oh, don't turn him away. Oh, he has come back to your heart once again. All let him in to stay. For oh, how you'll need him to plead your cause on that eternal day. Oh, list to my Savior and hear his sweet voice. Don't turn him away. Don't you love Jesus tonight? Don't you feel his wonderful presence tonight? Let's just lift our hands up and close our eyes tonight. Sweep over my soul. Sweep over my soul, sweet spirit. Sweep over my soul, for my rest is complete while I sit at your feet. Sweet Spirit, sweep over my soul. Sing it with me, will you? Oh, sweep over my soul. Sweep over my soul. Sweet Jesus, sweep over my soul. For my rest, it is complete while I sit at your feet. Sweet Spirit, sweep over my soul.
While you got your hands up and your eyes closed, the Bible said examine yourselves and see if you be in the faith. You know, we need to stop and examine ourselves. Just check up a lot of times. See if we're where we ought to be with the Lord. How beautiful are the feet of them that bring glad tidings of great joy, that publish peace, and all them that make peace shall be called the children of God. For all the paths of God are peace. Happy are they that keep your laws. Oh, how happy. Serving God is joy. Hallelujah. Serving God is joy. Joy, peace, and righteousness in the Holy Ghost. Glory to God. Yea, and who is he that cometh skipping upon the mountains as a lamb? And who is he that cometh with his
clothes that are dipped in blood? Who is he that hath eyes like flames of fire and feet as though they burned and as fine brass in a furnace? Who is he that has spoken and it hath stood? Who is he that has said and no man hath been able to change? Who is he that hath declared even from the beginning and it hath come to pass and even the end hath been spoken of him from the beginning? Who is he that shall speak and no man shall be able to alter or change? Who is he that is able to bring up from the dead? Who is he that's able to roll back the curtains of time and make yesterday as though it never was? And who is he that can do away with time, that all of today shall be forever and there shall never be a tomorrow? Who is he that speaketh from on high, the day sprang from on high, that is this to his people? Yea, unto them that sat in the regions in the shadow of death, great light is spring up to them, and unto them that was appointed for the judgment hath he delivered. For yea, he hath heard them in a time accepted, he hath secured them, and he hath delivered them, he hath broken the appointment with death. Yea, it is he that cometh with his clothes as though they had been dipped in the wine, the blood of the grape. Yea, it is he that skippeth upon the mountains as a lamb. Yea, it is he that riseth up even to the highest place, unto that place that no man hath dwelled. It is he that dwelleth in the great light alone, unto which no man can approach unto. Yea, it is he. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Oh, glory, glory, glory. Somebody touch me. Oh, glory, glory, glory. Somebody touch me. Glory, glory, glory. Somebody touch me. I know it was the hand of the Lord. Well, while I was singing, somebody touched me. While I was singing, somebody touched me. While I was singing, somebody touched me. I know it was the hand of my Lord. Oh, glory, glory, glory. Somebody touch me. Glory, glory, glory. Somebody touch me. Glory, glory, glory. Somebody touch me. I know it was the hand of my Lord. Can you sing it? Oh, while I was testifying, somebody touch me. While I was testifying, somebody touch me. While I was testifying, somebody touch me. I know it was. Can you lift your hands and praise God tonight?